Rich Lenkoff's the capital member of Downey and Lenkoff and the co-host of Legal Face-Off on WGN Radio. Rich, let's talk about the Senator Bob Menendez story first. So was it he who was corrupting his office, or was his wife just selling influence and he didn't know anything about it?
Hard to believe that he knew nothing about it. I mean, for example, one of the allegations is that there was a literally plastic bag full of cash where the senator kept his suits, and literally in his suit's pocket, he says that that was his wife's, not his. He says his wife, as a Cuban immigrant, lived outside the banking system. I'm not sure why that would be for immigrants, but anyway, and that she did not keep money in banks rather than home, and this was an example of her storing money and gold bars around the house.
Yeah, $486,000 in cash. They had to bring in cash machines to count it all, and then gold bars. And he was unaware of all of that? Or didn't at one point he say, I'm old school, I like to keep cash on hand as well? What's going on there?
Yeah, the two of them, again, stuck to the story that it's important to keep cash around. She said that one of the lessons her father, her immigrant father, imparted on her after escaping from Cuba in 1951 was that they keep cash on hand. They kept cash, I guess the family kept cash, allegedly in a grandfather clock. So they're trying to produce this narrative that all of this cash and gold bars lying around their home were not proceeds from bribery, but were in fact in the normal course of personal finances.
I don't know how a senator amasses $500,000 in cash, gold bars, a Mercedes, new carpeting for the basement, stuff like that. How is the prosecution making their case? I mean, it's more than just he has cash on hand. What's the connection here to these Egyptian and Qatari businessmen?
Yeah, well, the prosecution is, of course, alleging that this was all payment in the form of bribery in exchange for information, sensitive information that was given to the Egyptian government, information including about how many, you know, Egyptians are at the embassy and how many Americans are there. So the prosecution is presenting the idea that this was a basic quid pro quo. The senator was abusing his position as a senator in exchange for these cars and the money.
He skated before. I mean, this isn't the first time he's been brought up on bribery charges, and that was thrown out. Now here he is again, not smart enough to stay out of trouble. The jury deliberation begins today, right?
It does. The trial's been going on for months, so there's considerable amount of evidence besides what we've talked about. Obviously, there's lots of documentary and other evidence that the jury has to go through. But, you know, it doesn't seem to be that intricate a case, but who knows how long the jury will take.
What's the line on this? What are the smart people saying?
Well, you know, you skate once with a federal corruption charge. Maybe you know how to beat the system, but the evidence here seems pretty damning. And, you know, in the given that we've seen other high-profile examples, many here locally in Illinois, of elected officials going to jail, you know, I think there's a pretty good chance that he'll see time. Although, of course, locally, we know that that might be thrown out. The former, you know, speaker's sentence might be thrown out. At least his attorneys are arguing that it should be thrown out in light of some recent Supreme Court decisions.
Well, that was particular to the president. I don't know that that law or even that concept applies to a senator. He's got 16 felony counts, bribery, extortion, wire fraud, acting as a foreign agent for Egypt. He could go to jail for decades. Wonder if they would throw him in jail for this.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's ample reason to do so. I was only referring locally to the case with the idea that, you know, there seems to be a trend in, despite overwhelming evidence of elected officials, you know, wrongdoing, including Mike Madigan, including Trump, seems to be a trend of courts allowing them to get around that.
Oh, yeah. You're speaking about the LaPorte, Indiana case where the court has said that a bribe is a bribe and a gratuity is a gratuity. And maybe it's okay to accept gifts after the fact. Yeah, boy, oh boy. Okay, talk to me about the Alec Baldwin Rust shooting trial. Where are we on that today?
Yeah, that case is entering its third day. We heard today from the seller of the gun that ended up killing the cinematographer, Helena Hutchins. The prosecution put that person on to prove that, inconsistent with what Alec Baldwin alleges, you cannot fire that gun. That bullet would not leave the gun without pulling the trigger. Of course, Alec Baldwin has adamantly insisted that he never pulled the trigger. Both this expert and the FBI have said that it's impossible. That's what we heard today.
I've never understood that. The gun was in his hand, and unless there's some remote control switch somebody has, is he suggesting that the gun accidentally fired? It was a mechanical issue without him even pulling the trigger?
Yeah, that's what he said. I mean, in a couple of interviews that he's done, he said that he was definitely not, he did definitely not pull the trigger. He said he would never aim a gun at another human and pull the trigger. So he said that it malfunctioned, number one. Number two, of course, another part of the defense theory is that he's not responsible either way because someone else put a live round of ammunition in that gun. Now, it's very important, John, to realize that the defense won a significant motion in the jury not allowing to know that he is also a producer on that film. If he was a producer, you could argue that, well, this other person that should be responsible for putting dummies in the gun is the producer, Alec Baldwin. But by hearing only that he's an actor, he could sit there and blame someone else for putting this live round in the gun.
Still, I don't know that a producer would be so hands-on. I mean, I get the chain of command.
Right.
And maybe that's where the buck stops and liability goes there, too. But it sure seems to me like unless you can prove that Alec Baldwin knew there was a bullet in the gun and wanted to kill that woman, and there's no evidence or talk of that, that it's an accident. The charge is involuntary manslaughter. What do you think's going to happen here?
Well, I think given the fact that the armorer was found guilty by a jury in the same area, she, remember, now is serving 18 months. She will actually testify in this trial. I think Alec Baldwin will also similarly be found guilty. I mean, again, it's a bit of a different situation. If you blame the armorer for, you know, not inspecting the gun, that's different from blaming the actor. But, you know, I think there's definitely an appetite in this jurisdiction to hold people accountable.
Okay, Rich, you keep following that. Maybe we'll connect on one or both of these stories next week. Rich is a capital member of Downey & Lenkov, and he's the co-host of Legal Face-Off at WGNRadio.com and everywhere else. Nice to talk to you, Rich.
Thank you very much.